Well, I guess I'll start. So I enjoy, real quick, chapter 3 about in this book, The Knowledge of Life. And I thought it was very sovereign that this is actually kind of related to what we'll be getting into this morning, right? About why regeneration is so important, right? Regeneration isn't just for that we would be saved and that we would be saved because we have a wretched life and we're full of sin. But actually, regeneration is actually that we would have God's life. And when we have God's life, then we're able to match God. We're able to become God men. So without God's life, God cannot, you know, marry us as the church, right? So I really appreciate it just here that, you know, pointing out that regeneration isn't just to save us from sin, but actually it's to impart God's life into us. And then there are 3 points that it mentioned here at the end. It said, regeneration causes man to become the children of God. Amen. And then the second one is, regeneration causes man to become a new creation. So this new creation is what can match God. And this is what we'll get into this morning in our Holy Word for Morning Revival. And the third one is, regeneration causes man to be united with God as one.
Amen.
So if we see these three different aspects of why regeneration is so important, this will really enable us to really match God and become God's counterpart.
So this week, we come to the conclusion of the subject that we've been covering, and that is returning to the orthodoxy of the church. Sure, as most of us realize, this topic, actually this week, and I just read the title, is on the New Jerusalem, the consummation of the central vision of God's economy and of the high peak of the divine revelation through the overcomers who return to the orthodoxy of the church. And so, we're not covering a specific church, but rather, this week brings out a few particular points that kind of concludes our journey in our study of Revelation 2 and 3. And the first point, the first critical point I just want to bring out is this need of a vision. And so perhaps we could turn to the Bible, and if you have your book, this is day one, Acts 26:19. Maybe we could read that verse together.
Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision.
Amen. This verse is describing Paul's conclusion in his life, and that he testified before King Agrippa that throughout his entire life he was not disobedient to this vision. And actually, this vision was just the person, Christ Jesus, who went through a process, right? And that now has brought him to a point, right, where he knew what he needed to do, right, in the end of his life. And even opening up all the divine revelation, right, we know that actually Paul is credited to complete, right, the New Testament ministry. Opening this great vista to us. You know, when you look at this word vision, vision means an extraordinary scene, right? It's something that leaves a deep impression into you. It's something that is inscribed into you. It's something that you don't need to try very hard to remember. It's not something that you can memorize. Vision is something very particular, right? And that is very necessary to every Christian. Because we need to see, right, in the context of what we have gone through, that we went through church by church, starting from Ephesus. And in a sense, we saw the history, right, of the degradation of the church and its recovery. And so this is why vision is so important. For example, if you were living during the time of Smyrna, surely you needed a certain vision, right? If you are one who is living in Thyatira, right, as an overcomer, you need a particular vision. So even today for us, brothers and sisters, we need this extraordinary scene. Because we realize that, yes, as a whole, the church has degraded, and now today, the Lord in His recovery is bringing us, restoring us, bringing us back to the standard, right? The standard, the orthodoxy of the church. And so, we need to realize, right, that what is the vision today? Well, the vision is quite, in one sense, very simple, but actually it's very profound, right? The vision of God's economy, the high peak of the divine revelation, is that God would become a man, that our trying God, I think this morning, we enjoy very much, that He has a certain flow. He flowed Himself into a man. His flow is to bring His life, His nature into us. It's to make man just the same as He is. And of course, we realize that though man fell, he had to take some extra steps, right, in through His redemptive work, right, to reconcile us, to redeem us, to justify us, so that we could be, right, positionally correct to receive God's work or God's flow into us, right? And this vision might need to actually be so clear to us, because as we go on in the church life, we realize not all things, right, are ideal. Even in our personal life, right, we might go through periods maybe of degradation. For example, in Ephesus we saw, right, the first degradation occurred through our losing of our first love, right? But if we see the vision, right, we would be those who are quick to repent and not dwell on the fact that, oh, I failed again, right? Because this vision causes us to see that God is not after just victorious individual spirituality, right? God wants to mingle Himself with us. So why not? We would be quick to repent, to turn, right, to come back to be in His presence and to enjoy His divine dispensing. And so, vision is very important. The vision of God's economy is to experience Christ as life for the producing and the building up of the church as the body of Christ. We need to see, actually, that it's not just a matter of enjoying Christ. It's not a matter of just being filled with His life, But actually, this life has a purpose and it has a goal. And that purpose and goal is the building, right? And so why do we experience Christ? It's for the building. The Lord desires a building. Again, it's not just a matter of individual spirituality. You know, it's very easy for believers to have the thought or the concept that all we need to do is to experience Christ on their own, or to find proper and healthy teachings, right? To be personally edified. That's not the goal, right, of God's economy. We need to see very clearly that God desires to have a building. So even our experiences of Christ has to be for the building. And we see actually that when we come to these verses, we can read Revelation 3:14. I think this is day 6, right? Sorry, 3:12. Yes. Guess
we can read it together. He who overcomes, him I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, and my new name.
Amen. I was so impressed with this verse. First of all, we need to see, actually, because of this vision, because we have seen, right, what is the goal of God's economy, which is this building, the New Jerusalem is just a building, it's just a mingling of God and man. We need to realize that the only way for the Lord to achieve this is actually through the overcomers. Amen. This was such a fresh point to me this week, because in the church in Philadelphia, we have this description of an overcomer, right? This overcomer, first of all, is a pillar, right, in the temple of God, right? And we know that a pillar, right, signifies something that is weighty, right? Something that is critical and essential in a building. And so we all need to have the aspiration, right? Even we need to pray, Lord, make me a pillar, right, in your building. And this is definitely a process, because we see this word of encouragement that he shall by no means go out anymore. So maybe what that implies is before we have tried, right, to go out, maybe to go out free. But through this process, right, the overcomer has been produced, right, to become this pillar, that he or she will no longer go out, right? This implies the cooperation, right, that is needed by this overcomer. And then to go on, what is written upon him is the name, right, of my God. What does that mean? That means the overcomer has become completely possessed, fully gained by God. In other words, his entire being, right, has been saturated and filled with God, right? So that the name of God has been given to him. And then finally, this point, that the name of the city of my God, right, this overcomer also possesses. Amen. And so not only that has this overcomer been identified with God, but even to the city, to this corporate entity of the New Jerusalem. So that this person, this overcomer, we need to see, is not an individual, right? But actually, this overcomer has been built in, right, to become part of this great city, right? This corporate expression of God. And so, there is a calling today, brothers and sisters. I'll just end with this point. Every single church that we went through, every set of verses, it ends with this call, right?
Yeah.
The Spirit is calling out. He who has an ear, like, let him hear what the Spirit is saying or speaking to the churches.
Wow.
I think this is a good way to end, is that today we need to realize God has a need. He has a desire. This is the city, the New Jerusalem. The only way for him to achieve this is through the overcomers. And so we realize that the Spirit today, which is the sevenfold intensified Spirit, it is, this Spirit is producing the overcomers. But for this to be produced, we need to have first ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking. Because with God speaking comes His working, His operating, His searching, His burning. Through the sevenfold intensified Spirit, actually the overcomers can be produced, right? And so, may we all have ears to hear, right? Even this morning, for the rest of our lives, right? To listen to the Spirit speaking to the churches, so that the Lord can gain, right, the overcomers that will bring about, right, the goal of His heart. So I'll just end there, and we can open this time for all the saints to share. And just like in the past, we'll just limit everybody to 2 minutes, and that way many can share. Amen.
We do two standing so we can kind of help the flow of the meeting.
Revelation 3:12 says, "He who overcomes,
yes,
him I will make a pillar in the temple of my God.
Amen.
And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of this city of my God, the New Jerusalem, and my name." So I was looking around for, this is a building, a physical building, and the pillars are, they're just part of the building. So this is a wonderful, this is a wonderful verse. She had to pick one verse for the New Jerusalem. This is probably the, anyway, this week I was very touched with this. So a pillar, this is a wonderful, a pillar can't go out.
Yeah.
And a pillar is just part of the building.
Yeah.
And it says, "I will write upon him the name of my God." So this right there is very deep. The name of my God being written on us.
Yeah.
That just means that God and we are one. Because
yeah.
The name just denotes the person.
Right. Wow.
So we get, so like, Jerry, what's your name?
Jerry.
God.
Oh, yeah.
That's God. Good. That means that you're mingled with God, you're united with God, you're incorporated with God, you're just one with God.
Wow.
Your name is God.
Amen.
How about that? And the name of the city of my God. One of the other verses says, and the city.
Yeah.
The city is what the Lord desires.
Amen.
That's His pride.
Amen.
So the name of the city of my God, that's something very precious.
Amen.
We're part of the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
That's just like the pillar. The pillar is just part of, most of the pillars you can't even see. They're just part. They're just here.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then it says, and my new name. I wanted to share about the verses from day one, but this is the best verse. So, my new name.
Amen.
This just says, praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. Okay, so I really enjoyed day four because it has a really sweet picture of what the Lord is trying to gain, the whole aspect of the shoot, of the wonderful Shulamite, the duplication of Solomon. Because also, as Brother Shepherd shared, what the Lord's really after is actually pretty simple. He just wants a duplication, because the beginning of the Bible shows just the triune God. And then the end of the Bible is now a corporate God. So in the first two chapters and the last two chapters, that's really what he wants. God to God. He just wants us to become like him in life, nature, and function, but not in Godhead. So, I don't know, it's so simple, but yet, like you said, it's so profound. Like, many times, I've been through experiences where I think, how could I ever reach your standard? Mm-hmm. But the whole point is to realize that it's not just for individual victory.
Yeah.
God wants this corporate body in the end, that we will be like Him in life nature and function on the God, but all together, not by ourselves.
Yes.
You know, this is what the Lord wants in us.
Amen.
So, brother, sister, I also would like to share the verse in Revelation chapter 3:12. Two brothers, they already mentioned this verse, right? Specifically, I'm very touched to the central portion of the verse. What is the feature the overcomer has, right? It mentions that the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, is written upon this overcomer, right? You see, actually, the vision concerning God's eternal purpose, actually what He is after, becomes wrought into the being of that overcomer,
yeah.
Right? You can see that that's actually, it's mentioned in the message, right? This indicates that the coming New Jerusalem has been wrought into His being, right? So, why did we just spend the past week reading this message,
right?
Is that because we can be able to stand up and say the highest truth in the universe,
right?
It's so wonderful, it's so great, we can speak this high truth because we read the message and we memorize the message, we memorize the outline, and that's the best, right? I think we can see from this verse, actually, that is so inadequate. If we just read the message this week, and we see, yes, this is what God is after, right? We just mentally can acknowledge this, right? We are so short, right? Because we need to be brought into this kind of experience. That the vision concerning the New Jerusalem actually becomes wrought into our being, right? You see, actually, the verses mentioned in Revelation 21, it's a very important principle also, right? Because it mentions John was carried away in spirit, and it says, then he saw, right? He was carried away in spirit, and then he saw. We need to follow the same kind of principle, right? We can come and read the message and come to the prophesy meeting and prophesy very wonderfully about the highest peak of the divine revelation.
Yeah.
But if we're not carried away in spirit to see God's eternal purpose, to see in such a deep and in such a real way what He is really after, sadly, this message is a total waste because we did not become the vision, right? The New Jerusalem is not for us to come and can share such wonderful things about. That's something to be wrought into our being.
Amen.
And we actually become the expression of New Jerusalem.
Amen.
And just one last thing I'll share. I know in Brother Michael's house, there's a small plate. I love this thing on this plate. It says, living out the New Jerusalem. And we cannot do this unless we see in such a real and in such a substantial way. So we need the Lord's mercy to be brought into the reality of what the high peak is.
Well, while listening to the speaking of this week's Holy Word from Morning Revival, I kind of had a little deja vu. When I was in the third, I think it was my third term in the training, I was kind of going through, maybe it was my second or third term, I can't quite remember, but I was having a lot of inward turmoil in my being, and just caring a lot about myself, and Shepherd mentioned, and also Jerry, but just, I want to become an overcomer, Lord, like, just my own spirituality, and wanting to be a pillar, and wanting to be all these things, right? You're in the training, you're supposed to be trained, and then I'm also being, there's lots of light in the training, and also being convicted of how short I am. But I remember Brother Ron sharing, you know, he came to a realization that he can no longer try to become an overcomer by himself and in himself, but actually just to pray, Lord, produce the overcomers in your church. I was very touched, and he mentioned that again in this message, that we need to just pray to the Lord, Lord, produce your overcomers. And in the message when I was in the training, he even said, maybe we won't even become overcomers. But we have to be ones that are willing to just pray that the Lord will gain the overcomers in the church, even if we're not the overcomer. That's a tough prayer. Oh, Lord, I want to become an overcomer. But to really deep within your being, Lord, gain what you're after. Gain your overcomers, even if we're not the ones ready. Maybe we still need some perfection. But the Lord does need the overcomers. And in this, and I was really enlightened also in this week's Holy Word for Morning Revival to see that these overcomers that the Lord is after are coming out of the church in Philadelphia. So already this church is a recovered church. It's in the truth. It's in the right thing, right? Everything is good per se, but there still needs to be ones that are willing to consummate the Lord's coming back and bringing in the Lord back. So really, there needs to be ones that are really just one with the Lord's heart, not just for themselves, but really for the body, for what the Lord is after. So I was just reminded again that, like our brother shared, it's not so much about just us becoming the pillars or things like that. Yes, we should have an aspiration. We should desire this. But really, we should just pray, Lord, gain your overcomers in the churches.
Yeah, praise the Lord. I enjoyed that also, that, you know, we really don't have the capacity to be overcomers. I mean, so many times, I don't even want to ask the Lord to make me an overcomer, because whatever I do, he's going to really show me what an overcomer really is. And what that entails is that we leave our whole being. We give him no reservations between our being and the Lord. And that when he touches, he's going to touch the deepest part of our being. Right? And that really takes a certain love for the Lord. The brother Ron in his message in his verse of Psalm of Songs, that he would have a love that is stronger than death. You know, a love stronger than death. I can't say that I'm there yet. So that's for brother Ron and the pillars, right? But we really need to know that when we ask the Lord for something, he will do it.
Amen.
And it is in Philadelphia that we have the environment where these overcoming takes place. And you would say, what do the overcomers have to overcome? There's no degradation in there. But they are here to consummate them in Jerusalem.
Amen.
And there's a connection between the high peak of the divine revelation, right, and the new Jerusalem, is that in order to become the new Jerusalem, we have to become God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead.
Right.
There is a direct connection. And we cannot be God in life and nature and not in the Godhead unless we're willing to have no reservations for him to touch the core of our being. Because the Lord has a desire to come back. And he needs to come to me through the overcomers in Philadelphia, in the environment of Philadelphia. And so we need to see that the Lord has overcomers in all the churches. But only the ones in Philadelphia are the ones that consummate the new Jerusalem. So we need to become God in life and nature. And that's not a small thing. We need to go beyond passive acceptance to active response. And we need to really ask the Lord to work himself into our being every day, every moment of our lives. So this costs us everything. The price is our very being.
I appreciate also brought out from the message, the overcomers not only overcome the degradation of the churches here, but they go further, especially the overcomers in Philadelphia. These overcomers are those that build up the body of Christ, that prepare the bride, and that consummate the new Jerusalem. And even this morning in the table meeting, I was just considering, we really can't have any confidence in ourselves and what we did. I mean, if we just consider the table, we didn't save ourselves. We were the sinner, but he came and he... we were meant for death, but he came. There was blood and there was water. All of this was his accomplishment, and all of this was himself. And so it's not like after we were regenerated and we received the initial salvation, now we like, okay, now I can do it. No, it's still the Lord producing what he needs to consummate the new Jerusalem. He still needs, he needs the overcomers. Only the overcomers will consummate the new Jerusalem. Only the overcomers will build up the body, will prepare the bride. But only he can do this. So the active, I mean, we should not be passive in this matter, and we should not have any confidence in ourselves, but we should pray, Lord, I have no confidence in myself, but produce me, and produce many as overcomers in the church in Philadelphia to build up your body and to consummate the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
We stand for this. This is why we're here. This is why we're here in the church in Piscataway. But these overcomers not only overcome the degradation, but they produce. They go on. They produce the body. They consummate the new Jerusalem.
Right.
And I was impressed with these two words, intrinsic and organic. These two words were brought out. I realized in the matter of the new Jerusalem, I need to be intrinsic, which means referring to the essential nature of something, and organic. This is entirely intrinsic and organic. So as we're living the church life, you're in Piscataway, or wherever we may go, as the Lamb would send us, we're living our church life, we're having a brotherly love, we're, you know, we're holding fast to what we have, we kept the word, we have his word, we haven't denied his name, we have a little power, but as we're living the church life, intrinsically something is happening, we're being made God. Intrinsically, we're being made God. Intrinsically, the name of God is being brought into us. The city is being built into us. The very nature of the New Jerusalem is being written upon us. And even the person of the Lord, his new name, the person of the Lord is written upon us. Then we could be the pillar in the temple. This is the New Jerusalem. Then we could be in a pillar in God, which is really, the temple is God. Really briefly, the temple is God. Actually, we see the New Jerusalem. There is no temple in it. The Lamb and God are his temple. So we become a pillar in God. We become God in life and in nature and in function, but not in the Godhead. And we become built into the New Jerusalem. This is what is intrinsically or organically happening in the church life.
Amen. Amen. So this week we talk about in the New Jerusalem and also in the book, The Knowledge of Life, we talk about, you know, God's life is uncreated and it's eternal. Mm-hmm. So, again, this thing, I think, may be too profound for us. I mean, at least for me, I'm kind of trying to be hands-on, okay? So, when we need to experience this, let's, from our daily life, we need to experience this. You know, one of this, I think I was touched by last week, our Lord's Day meeting. It was a wonderful meeting, and ending up with two words. One is called brotherly love, and what the other one? I just touched people. Yeah. Okay. The other one is a humbling spirit. Brotherly love and humbling spirit. So, because, you know, when we experience church life, one thing we can experience, we are brought in from various, quite different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know, by God's mercy and the sovereignty, we are together with quite, you know, background and difference. Mm-hmm. You know, even think about a family. You know, when God bring a husband and wife together, sometimes I was amazed. You know, that's God's design. The men and the women are so different. And then they were brought up together. You think of a human life. You're with your parents up to years of 20 years old. And you're with your spouse till the death sets you up. So you basically, you are with your person very different from you, quite a long time with your parents who know when you are babe. So we have to, we fear the Lord, we worship the God, and we follow the Spirit. So with the brotherly love, with a quite wide acceptance. Yeah. So one more very simple hands-on experience. This morning we try to hard to be on time. And we come into the church. And now I try to make a left turn. There's a four cars in front of me make a right turn. They're all going to the same church. So I was so excited. I was on time. Then a car behind me. So I immediately need to say, oh Lord, you know, I need to be humbled because there's five brother sisters driving the same church, same time. So all I'm saying is we need a heart to be wide acceptance. That's the first step, probably the basic step. To experience the New Jerusalem.
Amen. 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 I enjoy this portion and the truth. God redeemed us for the purpose of making us God in life and nature so that he can have the body of Christ, which consummates in the New Jerusalem as God's enlargement and expression for eternity. Ephesians 1:4 says that God has chosen us in Christ to be holy. To be holy means to be God in life and in nature.
but not in the Godhead. In the entire universe, only God is holy. God can make us holy only by dispensing His holy nature, that is His holy element in our being. When God regenerated us, He dispensed Himself into us as the holy element. Of course, this means that God has predestinated us to be His sons by dispensing. And a last portion here enjoys. God is God, and He Himself has begotten us as His children. Since God has begotten us, we are the children of God. Furthermore, in 1 John 3 says that God will work on us to such an extent that we will be like Him completely. From the day God created man, this has been God's purpose. This has been the purpose of God. So, we are in the process of becoming an overcomer. You know, it's a long process, but we got to stick with it and keep turning to Him each day, and I think we'll get there.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, this week we see this high peak revelation. Right, and this central vision of this God's New Testament economy is actually God became man, and to make them become God in life and nature, right? But not in Godhead. But what does that mean? You know, we heard, we know about this long time, and recently, there's a young people asking me, saying, this year, classmate asked me, why God won't make man at the beginning perfect? And I mean, what do you mean by perfect? Actually, in a sense, God meant to create man perfect in our sin, right? But there's only God is perfect. In Matthew 5, 48 says, you shall be like, you shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So our God is perfect, but we should be perfect in what sense? Actually, in the sense of we be like Him in His life and nature, but not in Godhead. And I would like to share something too. It's related. And you know, few years ago, I asked this question to young people in young people meeting. I asked young people, do you want to be like God? And everyone said yes. And then what? How do you think? What it look like to be like God? You become God in a sense. And the answer come out very, very popular saying, oh. So, I can do whatever God can do. So that means they even turn out this trend. They, older young people say, "Oh, so God is only present and only present." Right? So that means that we may have very wrong concept of what to be like God. You know, we become God in life and nature, but not in Godhead. There's a lot of things not in God's head, right? Like,
right.
For example, you know, to be an overcomer, we only have a little power.
Yeah.
Right? We are not the only potent. We want to do everything that we can do.
Right.
And I think that's very, very important to see, you know, what is actually becoming God. Actually, God has those attributes. There's love, there's light, there's righteousness, and that's holy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we become God in this
mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the title from this message. It says, The New Jerusalem, the consummation of the central vision of God's economy and of the high peak of the divine revelation through the overcomers who return to the orthodoxy of the church. I enjoyed this because actually this entire message is on the New Jerusalem being the consummation. And it's the consummation of what? Of two things. Well, it's really the one thing, but they're related. So, on the one hand, it's the high peak of the divine revelation, meaning the high peak is kind of like the tip, the very everything else is kind of like the details. But the main revelation that's revealed to us in the Bible is that God became man to make man God, ultimately to produce his body, build up his body, to close his age and set up his kingdom. And this is something that God has to reveal to us for us to see. So the New Jerusalem is the consummation of that revelation, but it's also the consummation of the central vision. And this vision I enjoyed in Roman numeral 1, it says the central vision of God's economy is the experience. So on the one hand, we have to see the revelation. On the other hand, we have to experience the vision. And so the New Jerusalem is actually the consummation of our experience of God as life. And this central vision is the vision of God, of Paul's completing ministry, which is God in us, and also the vision of Christ and the church. And so I enjoyed that this vision is actually something that's personal. It's something that has to be brought into us. And this vision ultimately consummates in people who are fully occupied with Christ and his church. And that's why, in the end, it's people who have the name of God, what God is, the name of the New Jerusalem, the nature of the New Jerusalem, and the name of the Lord, the person of the Lord, written on them, brought into their being.
Amen.
And so that's actually something that needs to occur in this age.
Amen.
This is the age where we need to be fully occupied and preoccupied with Christ and the church. So the New Jerusalem isn't going to be something completely different than what we're experiencing today, but it's actually going to be the consummation,
yeah,
or the totality, the perfection, the completion of everything that we experience today. So for us to be the overcomers and eventually brought into the New Jerusalem, we need to have such an experience of the central vision and of the high peak revelation today.
I appreciated the same thing. Now, we need not only to have the vision, but we need today, we need to have the application, the experience of the vision. And I just appreciated a small portion in day two. It says, regeneration brings God into us, making us God-men. As God-men, we should have a God-man living, continually rejecting our natural man and living by the very God who is life in us. As God-men, we should deny our natural life and apply the divine life in our daily life. And I just appreciate we have such a vision. We see that God is working himself into us as our life, you know, and he's so rich, you know, and we can just enjoy him. But as we enjoy him, there's an application, and that is, we don't live by our own natural life anymore. And I think, you know, in my daily living, I'm constantly exposed by my children, especially the older one, because, you know, he says something, and there's just a response in my being that is not God's life, you know. And so I just, I'm constantly just going, Lord, you know, I really need you as my life, as my person. And I just appreciate it, you know, as we learn to apply, you know, what we see that God is our life, a very person. There's a change in our being, you know, little bit by little bit. There was just one more portion in day one. It says we can labor on Christ as the reality of the good land by endeavoring to contact, experience, and deal with him day after day, so that we may reap the produce of his riches. And then, you know, so not only is there a personal experience, actually, as we reap that produce, then it says we bring it to the church meeting and share it with one another by releasing our spirit. And so, on one hand, that's the personal aspect, but, you know, we have to learn to contact the Lord day by day, you know, deal with our natural life, enjoy him as our life and our person. But then we bring that to the church, you know, and we share the bountiful riches of Christ so we can apprehend all the things, right? And then that's the foretaste of the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Eventually there will be a consummation, but today we can enjoy a foretaste. Amen.
I also enjoy that our experience of the Lord is not just for ourselves, but eventually to lead us to the building. And the building is a corporate matter. We know God's goal and God's central vision today is not just to get individual Christians, but to get the New Jerusalem, right? Which is actually the church consummated, the body of Christ being built up and consummated in New Jerusalem. For this, if we see what this means, it requires us
to pay for the high and awesome price. The veil of the body, yes, we need to experience the Lord, but our experiences has to aim, has to be full, has to produce it ultimately issue in the building of the body of Christ.
Yes.
That causes us to think, and when we experience it, when we come to the Lord, it causes us to realize, you know, Lord, am I experiencing the Lord because for myself, or am I actually have your goal directing my experience and my enjoyment of the Lord? In order for us to see this, requires us to, I enjoy the same shirt that we need to come to His Word in a prayerful way. Not just so that we can enjoy Him, but to look for His shining, to look for His speaking, personal speaking. There are certain parts about being that, you know, the Lord wants to touch, wants to break through. You know, I enjoy that God is perfect, but He wants an enlargement today. The way He's going to get enlarged is that He will be enlarged in mankind. Mm-hmm. That's us.
Amen.
But He wants it to be enlarged. He needs our cooperation.
Right.
He needs to break through all the barriers that's in our being in order to be enlarged, right? So, amen. We need to experience the Lord for the body,
exactly.
You know, by paying the price.
Amen.
Amen. I was very touched by this way to a message, just like Carol said, this week is New Jerusalem, based on the distribution. Actually, I think it's 2 weeks ago, a young person asked me, what is the millennium? And then, so I had some fellowship with Kyle and Megan, you know. Well, I made a chart about our destination, like what if we die, what if we are still alive, what happens. And then, you know, Megan was a little bit scared, and then she told me, she said, Mom, this is not fair. I think probably, you know, this test is like pretty scary. But then, you know, this week I was very touched by day 4 about Song of Songs, the Shulamite. And in the message, I think, you know, I went back to Song of Songs. Shulamite did not have a name until chapter 6. We know that, you know, the name is Shulamite, and that is the feminine form of Solomon. So I think that really reminds me that, you know, yes, you know, the Lord is coming back, but actually, you know, the test He's going to give us is an open book test with love. So we can see that, you know, actually Shulamite has been transformed, and, you know, through a process, you know, in the life study, it says that, you know, we actually go through 4 stages of Christian life, right? But then eventually we will become like God. Just like Kyle shared, I think, you know, it's actually very sweet. Revelation 21:2, here it says that, you know, we become His creature, but then we actually need to prepare. So that really reminds me that, you know, actually now we have this, we have read the 8 weeks already. We should not just think that, you know, those are other people's problems. Those are not our problems. We really need to pay attention to our daily life. Just not come, you know, not just come to the meetings and then, you know, say something we think that's, you know, I think it's really about our life, our daily life. And I was very touched by the name. I don't know if you noticed, but we will have 3 names, right? The last name, it did not mention what the name it is. And if you go to look at the life study, actually, our brother said that he does not know what the name would be. But we are sure that that's actually a mingled name. You know, it's the Lord plus us. And that's actually from our experience with the Lord and ministers.
I very appreciate in faith too is that God is God and that He Himself has begotten us as His children. Whatever anything is born of, that is what it is. We cannot say that we're sheep, we get sheep, the old sheep are sheep, but the little sheep are not sheep. So we are the children of God. I appreciate this very much because at work, I built my own like standing table. So it's a basket about this big, and I put my table calendar on it so I can stand and work. But like someone, I don't know who this person is, but like this person makes fun of my standing table. Like every morning when I go to work, like either the calendar is misplaced or it's upside down or something. Anyway, someone's definitely playing around with my standing table. So then I asked around, and one of the colleagues said, "Do you know about the company ghost? Maybe it's the ghost." then I was like, no, it's not the ghost. But anyway, that's so then the other one, so she asked me, "Do you believe in ghosts?" Then I said, "I know there's ghosts, but I don't believe in ghosts, and I'm not afraid of them." I was waiting for her to ask, "So why you're not afraid of ghosts?" Then I can say, "Because I'm the son of God, so I'm not afraid of ghosts." But she didn't ask. But anyway, but at that time I was praising the Lord, like in my heart, like, "Thank you, Lord, so I can be the Son of God. God is my Father."
Amen. Amen. And John, they want when they say, like, if they're having a proper meeting, it's mainly a matter of bringing to the meeting the riches of Christ that we have enjoyed in our daily life. When it says we be active in the meeting, but if they don't enjoy the riches of Christ in their daily walk and do not bring to the meeting a rich portion of Christ, the activity is vain and the meeting is empty. I feel like a lot of times this is just what I did. So I will not do morning revival or during weekday, and then before comes the worship meeting, I will read it. And I was like, this is so bad, but I was like, well, I need to share something, so I need to read it. And then I just realized, I was like, this is not the proper way, because I was like, you're taking a shortcut. It's like, you just read everything in speed, but then I was like, you don't really touch the Spirit, you don't really touch the Lord. So I just appreciate that every day we should actually enjoy a little bit portion of what we should have enjoyed, and then be actually to the full enjoyment of Christ. That would be it at that time, like, what we were saying is indeed from what we really enjoyed throughout the week. It's not like we say it because we read it. So, yeah, I just appreciate that.
Alright, so this is from, I forgot the day in here, but it's Revelations 1:20. It says that the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw upon my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the messengers of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So I mentioned this this particular part, this verse, because I think sometimes we get caught up into like the progression of the churches. You know that we know that, you know, we were look at this original church, and then we look at the very end goal. And I think sometimes we kind of lose track that actually the messengers of all the seven churches are going to be united. And that they are overcomers of each church. And that actually the goal, what's going to be in this New Jerusalem, is all the positives of all the churches. The thing that's just dividing them, of course, is the negatives within each church. I mean, even Philadelphia has to hold fast onto the crown, because let's face it, time is the enemy of man, you know. But New Jerusalem, of course, is forever; it's eternal, and God allows us to be immortal. It's only through Jesus and God that we are allowed to be immortal. Which is funny, because, you know, speaking of the thought of ghosts, you know, technically the only the ghost is, you know, really
only two forms that we can see, the spirits, which are technically demons, right? And then the only thing is the Holy Ghost, right? Because Jesus is the only one that can conquer death. Humans can't conquer death. Alright, so, yeah. Thank you.
Anyone want to share a little bit of my background? So we do not have to ask for a question.
I'm not quite so sure about it. So most of us, maybe all of you, know the God's economy and the habit of the divine revolution. So that is the God became a man to make us. The God himself. In the nature and the life, not in the Godhead. Mm-hmm. But it seems that the New Jerusalem is a little bit hard to understand from my point of view, since maybe the New Jerusalem is a building, but maybe it's a place, but what does this mean for the God's economy?
Please, what is the question? So, it's just how important we need to see the vision of New Jerusalem. So, as many of you shared, actually, the New Jerusalem is not a physical building. The New Jerusalem is a corporate man, it's the expression of God and man. So, as many of you brought out the matter, so when you first need to see the vision of the New Jerusalem, to see this God and man, oh Lord Jesus. And we need to have this realization that today we are living out of New Jerusalem. Actually, we are not waiting until that day to become New Jerusalem. We are living out New Jerusalem day by day by enjoying the Lord and contacting Him. Oh Lord Jesus. So the revelation is so high, but the practice, we need to bring this into practice. Like a sister said, we need to bring this into application. Oh Lord Jesus. I really enjoy this title that we see the New Jerusalem was produced by the overcomers. So many of you have shared that in the church in Philadelphia, actually the church in Philadelphia, they are the church of brotherly love. They have no negative things. But in the church of Philadelphia, the Lord is still calling for the overcomers. Why? Because the overcomers, they not only overcome negative things, they also become the New Jerusalem. So this is we are here today. The Lord is calling us to be overcomers. But the overcomers are not a special group of believers. They just are normal Christians. They enjoy the Lord day by day. They deny themselves. To live in their spirit, to live by the law of life. So this must really remind me an example. Yesterday, many of us attended a special conference. So Brother Nelson, he brought another example, his experience. This is so practical. His dog by his Bible, but he was full of spirit. He was full of joy. He didn't lose his temple. Instead, he was in the spirit. Dear brothers and sisters, this is the experience we need to have. Well, we all have different situations. And whether you are in your work life or you are preparing exams, or I'm in a PhD student, I'm dealing with my advisor, we are all in different kinds of situations. Every day the Lord is looking for us to open to Him, to hook Himself into us. So we need to cooperate with the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. So this message really reminds me, oh Lord, to experience the Lord. And we see in the first point, the simple vision of God's economy is the experience of Christ as life. Dear brothers and sisters. So we may have some knowledge of the New Jerusalem. And this morning, Brother share with me. We may even think that we didn't see the vision of the New Jerusalem fully, but we still need to experience day by day. And we need to be faithful to the vision we see. No matter how much we see the vision, we need to be obedient to the vision we see, to experience Christ. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
With what you are experience we need day by day.
Amen.
To become him, to become his corporate expression.
Amen.
That you transform us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm so enjoyable that to hear the new Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Please, the Bible is a complete revelation concerning God's heart desire.
Amen.
From the first book of Genesis to the last book of Revelation. The first two chapters of the Genesis, it talks about God's heart desire.
Amen.
He created man. And he placed him before the tree of life. And then, the last two chapters of Revelation, it's the new Jerusalem. So God's intention was, after the second chapter of Genesis, he wanted to bring God, bring man that he created with his life into the new Jerusalem. But sadly, there's a gap from chapter 3 of Genesis to the 20th chapter of Revelation. But that's okay, because eventually God will get New Jerusalem.
Amen.
So friends, we will be New Jerusalem.
Amen.
The matter of when you will be the overcomer.
Amen.
Do you realize that you and I have been chosen for being an overcomer?
Amen.
That is your destiny.
Yeah.
That is my destiny. And it's a matter of whether you're going to be at this age or coming age. That you have to make the choice. I have to make the choice. But that choice is very much related to the vision that will come to you.
Yeah.
This morning we have talked about a lot about the truth concerning the New Jerusalem. But friends, I will have to ask you, have you really seen the vision of New Jerusalem? If you truly see the vision, your living will change. When Paul, the Apostle Paul, he was so eager to persecute the Christians in his religious practice. One day, he never dreamed on the way to the Damascus. The light, the vision, came upon him. And what happened to him? He changed. His being changed. His living changed. Even his service changed. If we see the vision of the New Jerusalem, the way you dress will change.
Mm-hmm.
The way you serve in the church will change.
Amen.
You will not bring in any mixture because of the New Jerusalem. Not because people tell you you can do this. Because the New Jerusalem will become the controlling vision.
Amen.
You have to know, New Jerusalem only God and it redeemed people, but nothing else.
Amen.
So we need to pray for ourselves. Lord, have mercy on me. That I will not just talk about the truth here today and repeating all this truth. I need you have mercy come to me. Light will come to me. Shine in my heart. Then my heart, the inner eye may see what is the real New Jerusalem meaning to me. Is it the way I talk according to the New Jerusalem? Is it the way that I serve according to New Jerusalem? Many times, not. When the light really comes to us, we will have to just repent. Lord, I'm still serving you in my flesh.
But thank you that you still shine on me. So may this vision of New Jerusalem controlling us to the last day of our life on the earth, and we'll be one with our God, our redeeming God. And may his goal complete.
Amen. We do give you this upcoming week. Lord, give us the experiences that we need. Lord, that we can experience the new Jerusalem. Oh, Lord Jesus, we want to be one. Oh, to pray your prayer. Lord, that really match your heart. Lord, give us your feeling this week. Remind us to continually come to you. Lord, to continue to allow you to love us. Lord, we would love you in return.
You have such a feeling. Care for your heart desire. Lord, produce us to be all overcomers. To become the new Jerusalem. You are the experience we need. Experience you as the life.
We don't want to remain in talking about the truth. We pray for the experience of the truth that we have talking about. Lord, grant us such a mercy. We will be ushered into the experience of the new Jerusalem. Give our coming week to you.
Lord, we give this coming week to you. May we have such experience of you. Bring us into the full reality, Lord. That we can be your overcomers. Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, we love you. Lord, help us get into the depths of the vision. Lord, and also your practical spirit. Help us to experience all this vision. We want to be one with you. Lord, help us get into the practice.
Convert all we know into a vision that governs and controls us. And that we would live out such a vision, even to become the vision. Grant us the mercy. This week we would experience you. We would enjoy you. All for the new Jerusalem.
Lord Jesus, may this upcoming week experience you day by day. Be so real to us, Lord.
Lord, thank you for your mercy.
Amen.
Thank you for your words of wisdom.
Amen.
Lord, we want to grow with you in each day.
Amen.
We want to become more like you.
Amen.
Oh Lord, please teach, please help the others who may not have been saved.
Amen.
Allow them to respect you.
Amen.
And grant them salvation.
Amen.
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 Amen. Remember, 1 o'clock. I believe we're watching in the hospital.
No, English.
Oh, well. Okay. Thanks, Jerry. Do you have that instruction?